You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello and welcome to The Kylo Show. We're having some fun. I'm back.
I know. It feels kind of strange to be
you and I.
Yeah, just be sitting across the table from you.
I don't have any facial hair.
How you been?
I've been good. I'm not one of the guys. No. We had Jimmy and Gina on. Mom was here with us though. Yeah. So it's been a little minute since I was just the two of us.
I know.
So, but I love the topic that you've been carrying on while I've been gone.
It's been a lot of fun.
It's a pretty important one.
There was a lot of man energy going on. It was good.
Yes. What's fun is to listen to it. Because I'm normally in this room, so I don't hear all the giggles and whatever's going on. I won't say you guys weren't giggling, but it was funny listening to some of the hoot and hollering that was coming through the door, because it sounded like just a good old time you guys were all having in here.
Turned into a locker room for a little while.
It's good, because we need, I have such a heart for fathers to be engaged and to feel confident and desire that role and position in the home and the family. And so I love just watching you rally even the guys in our office that are fathers to speak from their heart and break off a piece of their life and hand it away to our listeners, and then inviting Chris in his new book. I mean, just so many rich things we've got going on. We have more guys in this office than we've ever had.
Yes.
And they're all fathers.
Yay.
Which is really fun.
Yeah. And it's not very, you don't have to scratch very deep to find the fruit of responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, like men who have been willing to take responsibility for not only for themselves, but for a wife, for children, for provision, for influence, for leadership. I mean, these guys are, they're doing a good job.
Yeah.
And so it's very fun to just crack it open and let other people see that as well.
Yeah. Ben and I are leading it's going to be for 3 months, a marriage kind of healthy families class at Jesus Culture. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we talked last week with them was the needs that a man has and a woman and how they're different, mm-hmm. different things like that. But one of the things you just said was to be providers and provision. And another piece that I was really walked away with in just having hear Ben's conversation with you guys in here and going into that was how important it is for a father to have a provision, like to be casting vision, not just being a provider of the finances and those necessities, but really grasping this ownership of leading our family somewhere, and how much trust that builds when that's seen, and how from a wife's perspective, like, oh, okay, good, you have it, great, I won't worry about that, I'll do the other things that I'm great at. And I think for children, it's just, it inspires them. I love listening to Lincoln talk about how he just wants to be a dad because of how much he loves watching Ben be a dad. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, let me cry right now in the corner because it's just so beautiful to see how he sees vision from
He's
his
inspired.
Father. He is. Yeah. It's so fun to watch.
And part of being, throwing that vision out there is also being a protector. Because I'm protecting my family from ending up in a ditch because I'm looking out the windshield and looking down the road and steering this thing and not just ending up in this situation, ending up in that situation because we didn't proactively design our life and our relationship and our family. We just ended up with that financial issue. We just ended up with this going on with our kid. We just ended up with this problem in our marriage. Like, well, that's what happens when there's a lack of vision, is we just wander aimlessly, the Bible says.
Yeah. Ben says, which I'm sure he said this, but being the standard of love, that men set the standard of love in their home. Mm-hmm. And I know I've said it on here before, but that is it creates this connection in our home when we look to him as, okay, this is the standard we're aiming for. And mm-hmm. and everybody knows that this is what he is setting the tone for how we show up in our relationships, the expectation. Just the other day, Lincoln got all pouty, upset about something, and he's like, dude, I don't know what you're doing right now, but that's not okay toward your mom. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah,
that's my man, protecting me, keeping connection alive. I mean, it's those moments where, and it wasn't like he was, that was as harsh as it was, how I just said it. It's like, buddy, you can't talk to your mom that way.
Yeah.
And it was small. The thing that I love, though, is it was a small hint of disrespect that Lincoln threw at me. Mm-hmm. And Ben was like, no,
yeah,
that's not what we do in this home. So it's just keeping that standard at that level.
I remember I first got saved. I have no positive men in my life, right? I just kind of don't even know really what to measure my own conduct by. And Bill Johnson is telling a story. It was unrelated to me becoming a man, but it totally impacted me as a man, as a husband, as a father. He said that his dad, Earl Johnson, was in the kitchen, and Bill was snipping at his mom about something. Mm-hmm. And Earl spun around and said, young man, you will not speak to my wife in that tone. Mm-hmm. And it took it out of it, your mom. You won't talk to your mom?
Yeah.
No, buddy. You want a problem with me? This is how you get a problem with me right here.
Sure.
You know? It was like, whoa. The reframe on that conversation really helped set the priority of relationships in the family. Like, mm-hmm. Me and mom, we're number one. Mm-hmm. You, sir, will be coming up at two.
Yeah.
You are strong second, mm-hmm. but you're second place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I thinking about the early years of Ben and I married and kids and chaos we created because of our own stuff we were looking to learn to grow out of compared to now and who Ben shows up in and my ability to surrender and just submit to him and be like, okay, I trust you. Because he's doing such a great job. Mm-hmm. He's doing such a great job in leading. And I laugh because what I see him develop in our kids, it's just so different than what I can bring to our kids. Mm-hmm. It's just so different, which is why God's design for families that there's two of you in there, because mm-hmm. you bring two completely different things. But he can get something out of Lincoln when he goes to Taekwondo that I cannot get out of that boy. Mm-hmm. I have tried. I'm usually frustrated at the end of it, but I love what he brings out of Lincoln. I love what he inspires in Adeline, especially for the ward. I mean, right now.
I know.
Right now, girl.
Yes, I heard.
And it's so much, it's Ben's connection to feeding this in her.
Yeah.
She's decided, she's 14, because this is totally what I was doing when I was 14, she's making a prayer wall in her closet. So she has a prayer closet
mm-hmm.
and she's got all her scriptures. And then she's got these declarations she's making over herself, her friends, her family, mm-hmm. her sister. She's away. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds about what I was doing when mm-hmm. I was 14. No, not even close, but it is Ben and her have this little relationship with the Bible. She'll read something and come and tell him, and he just nurtures this and encourages going deeper. And it's really fun to see how that takes shape in Adeline, because it's different. Like her and I have a different relationship, and I sewer something different in her, but to watch him lead them in this mm-hmm. curiosity and desire for the word, mm-hmm. he does such a great job in that.
Yeah, and they must believe him. You know, they must believe him that he's following Jesus, because mm-hmm. they're like, yeah, okay, well, I'm following you.
Yeah.
So I guess we're all following Jesus. And you're like, right, that's how this works. Yeah, that's beautiful.
And the same thing's going on with Lainey, too, but it's just different because she's not in the house. So.
Yeah, well, she's at BSSM now, you know, and she's getting saturated in you know, what shaped all of us. Mm-hmm.
So. But she calls her dad first when all the big, huge moments spiritually happen. She's calling Ben, and they just are oohing and aahing over the powerfulness of this. And so I just love watching it.
Yeah.
It's super fun to see.
I think the other thing is the dad's influence and or maybe the back to that standard of love is how quickly I repair a disconnect, how quickly mm-hmm. I clean up my mess. Mm-hmm. If I raise my voice, if I was sharp or short or disrespectful in some way, or somebody just experienced me in a scary way, whether it was intentional or not, I'm there to clean up the mess. I'm moving back towards you like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm mm-hmm. sorry. Nope. Wasn't trying to do that. Nope. Don't want you to feel that. That another part of protecting my family is protecting my family from me. Mm-hmm. And nobody can really, create a father wound the way dads can.
Yeah.
And at the same time, nobody can clean it up like that. And then it sets the standard for how we're going to treat each other mm-hmm. going forward. Like there'll be short accounts. There'll be, we'll be quick to listen and slow to become angry. And that's just how we do it here.
Mm-hmm. It's thinking about Ben and his dad. I love Rob. Amazing. And he came from a very different household than you did. They're both components that you've brought into being fathers that you didn't necessarily maybe learn or get. But what I love is that there's permission to start today to repent, to clean up your mess, and then to move towards becoming the father that you want to be. Mm-hmm. This is the thing that feels available for those listening, is that you don't have to come from this perfect background.
No.
You don't have to come from, okay, I read all the books and now I can do it. It's really that invitation of Lord, give me an encounter with you so I can father my children like you father me. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I feel like this whole thing that has been about is how can we inspire the men to be humble enough to invite an encounter that says, will you guide me? Mm-hmm. And that's the permission that's on the table right now. It's like, you can have that.
Yeah. Yeah. I do remember one time you guys were out of town. I think you were in Hawaii or something. We've been with the kids for a little while. Mom is upstairs trying to put the kids to bed. She comes down. She goes, okay, you're on. This isn't working.
They're so not I going
go,
to sleep.
So I go upstairs and they're all in your room. And I said, okay, everybody normal. To their room. You guys get in your bed. And Lainey says, we can stay in here. I said, not tonight. Everybody back in their beds. And everybody jumps off the bed, goes back in their beds. And then I sat on that little couch outside in the hallway, because Lincoln comes out. He sees me. He goes back in, And then he came out and he laid outside Addie's, on the floor there.
I remember that season with
Lincoln. He would sleep outside because Addie wouldn't let him in the room.
Yes.
So he would sleep outside her door. And so I said, yeah, you can sleep there, yeah. And then when you got home, Delaney says, well, we all got a taste of how you were raised.
I do remember that. Jeez.
It was just because I went, everybody out now. And I, they never experienced that with me. I am never the tough guy.
It was, probably after the fifth time Mimi tried to get them to be going to bed. That's pretty funny. I one of the things that I very much still vividly remember with you, talking about the being a leader, the protector, and trying to guide me, but without telling me what to do. Like that was, nurturing my heart, giving wisdom, but not using it as I'm the father, so that's the law type of experience. Mm-hmm. I had a summer crush. I fell in love with a boy that was older than me, and I thought that that was for sure who I was going to marry. I was, 12 probably. Mm-hmm. And it was family camp because all the things happen at family camp. There's just so much freedom. So you're just running around. Anyways, Billy Darvell. That's mm-hmm. who I remember.
Yeah. I knew where you were going.
Uh-huh. But I remember we went to a breakfast diner and you were describing, again, I'm 12 years old. So I'm just a little bit older than Lincoln, but you're describing my heart and really the care and value that I should be taking with my heart as I start having hormones and start discovering how boys can like me back and how this feels. And you took the little ceramic bowl that I was full of the jellies.
The little jellies.
The little jellies. Mm-hmm. You and your analogies, my whole life. Analogies and acronyms.
It just comes to me. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Well, I am now famous for it because of you. I have some great ones of my own. But you started describing how all these jellies are my heart. And if I give it all to this person, hoping that they can take care of it, but they don't, I'll be left with nothing.
Yeah.
I'll be heartbroken, and they open all the lids, and you're just like, I think you went and got another bowl of jelly just
wrecking
to make
all
a bowl.
The jellies. Says wrecking all the jellies. Yes,
wrecking all the jellies. Yeah. All the marmalade was spilled, and just trying to display how I can't repair my heart like its original form if I just waste it all, you know, and giving one piece of my heart to see how well they take care of it. Mm-hmm. And that will be, and then if they do a good job, then I can give another piece because I want to save my whole heart for someone that's going to take good care of it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm 38 years old and I still remember this conversation. Yes. Of
the jelly analogy.
The jelly analogy. Mm-hmm. As I'm sitting there. So every boy I ever liked, I'm like, okay, I'll give you one piece of jelly. How do you measure that?
Yeah.
Here's a little portion of my heart. What will I tell you? But it's just kind of always been there for me to steward, and obviously married 20 years nearly now, and Ben has my whole heart, and he's always taking really great care of it. But it was such a place of wisdom and an invitation to understand something that I didn't even understand, but for you to kind of take me on this journey and give me something that I could hold on to for a really long time. And I mean, I had a few other boyfriends in those seasons, and yeah, I'm like, oh, you're not taking good care of my heart. Oh, this is what you're talking about. I'm so glad you don't have all of it.
Yep.
Can I have that piece? Because you haven't opened it yet, yeah, you know. Yeah. But it's just funny, and there's been other situations where you've given other analogies to boys I've dated, and even thinking about, you know, Delaney has a boyfriend. She's an adult. He's an adult. All the fun that comes with adult parenting now. But even when Ben and I were dating, and you know, we brought you into our relationship asking for your help to keep us at this standard. And you held that line as if Ben and I kissing were the act of us having sex. I mean, that's how you treated this. And I just remember, we only just kissed. That's all we did.
Yeah.
But you said you kept the line because that's what we asked you to do.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of a dad's job is really to help his daughter respect herself,
yeah,
in front of other people. And the way that she does that is she respects herself in front of her dad. Hmm. And so she's not just at the, the vulnerable recipient of whatever the dad wants, because that really is a masculine feminine training ground. Hmm. I really want you to be able to feel powerful around me so that when you go out there, you feel powerful around them. Mm-hmm. And the idea of the jelly analogy is you value you.
Mm-hmm.
And you are actually, you're very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's going to have to bring way more than he brought on that last jelly, you know, like, dude, wow. That could be a deal breaker the way you did that jelly right there. And he needs to know that this self-respect that she has, I have to match it, mm-hmm, in order to lead it. And that really, I think, comes from this relationship where I am teaching you have to value your heart. You have and you have to steward that, because there's a lot of folks that have no idea how to communicate respect to a woman, mm-hmm, especially as a young man.
Yeah.
I remember standing at your wedding and I got you on my arm, and Rob says, and who gives this woman to this man? And I thought, this is your chance to get out of it right here, honey. You know, you're going to trade me for that boy. Is that, you sure you want to do this? This is all going on in my head. And you're like, yeah, daddy. Yeah, I do. And I just couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe what was happening. Like, you are going into the stewardship of this boy. Mm-hmm. Wow. We got to stick around. We got to keep close here. This is going to be a bloodbath, you know? So part of the provision really was to do everything that I could to respect you so that you respected you, mm-hmm. and then protect that as we mature.
Yeah. And now having a daughter that's older, you know, when she holds the standard of her dad next to the boys that she's dating or interested in, I love that she's got such a good example of the same thing. And I think that's what I remembered you did for me was, how does this? And now it's funny because we're 20 years in, you and mom are nearly 40, and I laugh. I'm like, I literally married my dad in so many ways, mm-hmm. which is so funny because mm-hmm. I knew that was what I was looking for, but there was definitely moments where I couldn't see it because Ben is so himself. And now I'm like, oh, you are so my dad. You're so my dad. This is hilarious. But it's wonderful all in the same time.
Yeah.
So, but that's the beauty of fathers for sure.
Yeah. Well, this series has been a lot of fun to do. And if you're just getting in on it, you might want to
start at the beginning.
Yeah. Start at the beginning and kind of listen through. But if I was going to leave you with maybe one thought, I think I would say, make sure that you surround yourself with great men. Mm-hmm. You know, as a man, you've got to have brothers. You've got to have these guys that will tell you the truth. They'll razz you. They'll encourage you. They'll chide you. They'll rebuke you. They will inspire you. They'll cry with you. They will... you know, they will be there not only today, but tomorrow. And the best friends have been there yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so we build these covenant relationships amongst men, and we make time and priority for them. Mm-hmm. As much as if, you know, you somehow have figured out how to go to the gym, or you figured out how to go golfing, or you figured out how to, you know, include something in your life, this would be one of those things that you make a priority. And maybe you could go to the gym with these guys, or maybe you could go golfing with these guys or whatever. But it's got to be when you're down, when you're hurting, when you're confused, you have somebody you can call. Mm-hmm. And don't allow yourself to develop what Stephen Mansfield calls rusty relationships, mm-hmm. where it's been so long since you talked to this guy and now you're hurting and you're down and you feel stupid for calling him, mm-hmm. because you didn't value him enough for the last year and a half, and now you're going to call him? No, you're not. You're going to do this by yourself again, yeah. which is Proverbs 18:1, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire and rages against wise counsel and judgment. You basically end up a fool when you isolate yourself. And this is what happens because I didn't prioritize. Hmm. And I can't believe it's been, wow, has it really been 9 months since I talked to you? Wow, how you been? Yeah, good. Hey, I am in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's not going to happen. It's going to be somebody's going to look at you and say, hey, where you been? Mm-hmm. Are you in trouble? Are you hiding? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, this is the second weekend we haven't talked. What's going on? Yeah, I'm in trouble.
I think it's important, you know, for the wives to make space for those things as well.
Yeah, it's a partnership for sure.
And, you know, Ben's on a call twice a month with your Dragon Slayers group and with his. Mm-hmm. And then all the calls in between of all these guys just calling to check in, mm-hmm. that guy's on the phone all the time. And he was doing also the Jesus Culture's men. So the three Thursdays out of the month, he's doing something with these men typically. Jesus culture is not as frequent, but you know, it's a sacrifice. It comes, it costs something. But mm-hmm. the benefit that I have seen from him doing this far outweighs any Thursday night I'm giving up.
Yeah.
And what I get to see in Ben is he's always been a really great friend. Like, he's always, that's just one of Ben's qualities. He's a great friend. But it's like he went to the gym for being a friend. And by doing Dragon Slayers, mm-hmm. I don't know how else to describe it. If all of a sudden he's worked up muscle with his intentionality, how he stewards these these friendships, and how he asks questions with these friends, how he lets people in. It's something I haven't seen in all the years I've been with Ben and his friendships. It's just another level of commitment and covenant that I'm seeing him develop. An ability to give away, it's not just in these relationships, it's even with me. Mm-hmm. It's like he's gone to the gym for friendship, and he brings that strength back to me.
Yeah, and he has an option besides you to process with, mm-hmm. you know? So when he's feeling insecure, or he's feeling like a failure, or he's feeling, confused or whatever, he's not processing that with you. You know, you don't have to get drugged through your leader, your man's cow pie. You know, he's over there talking to his guys about this, and they sort him out, you know, because mm-hmm. they've done it too. And at the very least, they're laughing about it, you know. But probably what's happening is he's getting some really great input, mm-hmm. and he's changing and maturing, and he's bringing that back to you.
Yeah, I would say he comes back with a solution to this thing I saw on him where, you know, it used to be, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. I don't believe you. What are you going to do? Like, that doesn't necessarily happen as much as it used to, because I'm going to go find guys. Like, he goes there and then comes back. I'm like, yeah, I noticed this morning you were kind of off. You seemed better. Oh, yeah. I talked to Justin. I'm like, oh, great. Good. Go ahead. Awesome. Welcome back.
That's
very much
awesome. Fun. Well, that's the power of brotherhood, and that I think is probably the key element that's mm-hmm. going to keep us on track going forward as men. It's going to make us great fathers, great husbands, great men of God, mm-hmm. great citizens. It's, you know, surround yourself with great men, and
greatness
comes. You'll be like them. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. All right. We're about to go to questions.
We are.
Okay.
I like this leading thing. You're just like leading the conversation. And you're like, we're going to go to questions now. I can get used to this.
I'm about to take over.
All right. We'll be back in a minute.
We want to tell you a truly inspirational story. In 1997, starting with nothing but their faith, Steve and Kathy Horner sold everything and moved from Weaverville, California to Tijuana, embarking on a journey to create an orphanage. Since then, over 5,000 children have been rescued, loved, and restored through the mission's radical faith-based approach. And now, over 30 years later, Jimmy and Gina Horner, their children, are continuing to fight, believing that the church can create an orphanless world.
They are transforming nations one child at a time, and you can be a part of this incredible mission by joining the Missions Sponsor Program. For just $30 a month donation, this directly helps the children's needs and allowing the mission to create an extended community of care around these kids. By joining the sponsorship program, you'll receive a monthly newsletter, which I love to get, and updates on the kids that you're sponsoring. And these kids that you're sponsoring come from all over the world, Mexico, Romania, and Nicaragua. I mean, they're providing services like orphan care, after-school programs. They are doing all sorts of amazing things to help better these children.
We are believing with them that within our lifetime, an orphanless world is possible. And every contribution brings us closer to that reality. Your generosity can change lives and transform nations.
It's as easy as visiting this website, www.themission.org/sponsor. This is how you become a sponsor for a child today. Just remember, we are partnering with the mission and helping create whole healthy people that create whole healthy families. All right. Well, we're back and we're going to answer some questions, but just in case you wanted to know where to send your question, you can do that by direct messaging me or my dad on Instagram. That's probably the best place for us to field questions for the future if you're interested in that. So, but we'll dive in.
Brittany Serpel.
Yes, Brittany Serpel.
And Danny Loving on Purpose. It's almost like it's, somebody's reminding me of something.
Danny Love on Purpose.
Yeah.
Yes, you just have to spell my name right. That's the trickiest part.
It's true.
But I think Loving on Purpose is in my title. So if you do Brittany and Loving on Purpose, I think it comes up. But anyways.
Yeah.
Or you follow you. If they follow you, then they usually can find me pretty easy.
All right. So this is easier than it seems.
I hope so. Okay. It should be. Okay. So give us your questions because we love them.
Yep.
All right. The first question that we have is, how do you build a love for doing hard things and facing your fears? How do you build a love for that?
Well, it's probably linked to the value that you have for the outcome, the reward. Hmm. Like, is the reward big enough, powerful enough to motivate you through the hard things? You know, I remember for years we heard that vision gives pain a purpose. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, that's exactly right. That there's something you're looking forward to that you are not willing to live without. And it kind of comes down to, I'm not willing to do this without that in mm-hmm. my life. And that is a nourishing, connected relationship with my spouse that I really enjoy. Mm. Like, well, that would be a really smart thing to build in your dating relationship, is that we really enjoy each other, our time together, we have a similar destination we're working towards. Mm-hmm. We are honest with each other early on in this relationship. I don't care, whatever you want. That stuff all dries up pretty fast. And we start saying, no, I don't enjoy that. No, I won't be getting in on that. Mm-hmm. Like, whoa, wait, hey. That's being honest, you know.
So, I'm laughing thinking about, we were just somewhere and Ben's trying to get me in a cold plunge.
Oh.
And I'm like, no. He says, do you love me? I said, I do, but not in that way.
Yeah.
But it's just.
Yeah, I love you enough to tell you the truth right now. No.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, come on. You're going to love it. No, you don't love it. Yeah. Yeah. You do it, but you don't love it. Yeah. Well, eventually you do. You get numb. You just go numb. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, do you really love doing the hard things? Is it just I love the result and the outcome? That's more.
I think it would be, I love the progress. Mm-hmm. I love the progress. And progress is my reward right now because I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
And so as long as I love making progress, then I'll welcome this hard, mm-hmm. challenging
piece.
Resistance. Mm-hmm. It's the James chapter 1 thing, you know, consider it all joy when you face these various trials. Well,
yay, struggle. Yeah, can't wait. Oh, look at that mountain.
Yeah.
I'm going to be exhausted.
Yeah. This is going to be so much fun. But we're going to get there.
Yeah.
You know, and I do remember climbing Mount Shasta, 14,100 feet. And I was rejoicing at taking 6 steps. Sure. I was just take 6 steps and stop, mm-hmm. and try to catch my breath again. And as soon as the dizzy thing left, mm-hmm. I'd take 6 more steps. Mm-hmm. And each time, and I thought, well, I don't know how many of these I got to do, but I got to do one more. That's I got to do one more. And just kept it in front of me.
Yeah.
And progress. And then pretty soon, you're standing on the summit signing your name in that little pad in the metal box on the top. You're like, wow.
I did it.
done it.
Okay. I could see that it's not really the love of doing it, but the love for progress and growth and the reward that you're that you're looking at. The success that's tied to it. That makes sense.
Yeah, I think so.
Next question is, what does it look like for a single mom raising boys without a father in the home? How can she be successful with raising those boys?
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, if there's more than one, there's that potential for brotherhood, but they've got to be got an example somewhere. So how can she be successful?
Well, she has to, you know, she has to first realize that they need something that she can't give them, you know, man lessons.
Yeah.
So then she has to be really careful about who she selects in doing that, because it's there's a lot of things that you don't want your boys to have to unlearn.
Right.
You know, I think that I got around a lot of guys that were older but kind of peers as a young man, you know, like I left home when I was 15. You know, I'm like, okay, well, this is kind of scary out here. And yet there were adults around me, because that's, I was entering an adult life, and there were people who were responsible, who went to work every day, who paid their bills. They, you know, they, so they would talk to me, and I do remember getting a bunch of, you know, basic life skills from people that were older than me. But I, you know, I had to unlearn a ton of stuff, because I don't know that my mom figured out soon enough that I need some models, role models, you know? And so it wasn't really until I got saved that my life transformed. But, you know, obviously that was from the inside out. If I were coaching a mom now, I would be, I'd have those kids in sports. You know, and I'd be picking the coach. I wouldn't be letting the coach pick my kids. I'd be like, nah, no, you're kind of a jerk. No, these kids are not going to learn that. They're not going to learn that from you. Maybe you're an assistant coach somewhere as a mom, you know, on a team or whatever. But you get your boys around other boys, and you get them doing those kinds of things, and you participate in it at some level, because there will be below standard activity that you want to be sure that you're like, no, you're not going to spend the night at Johnny's house. No, that's not happening. Eddie, you can go over to Eddie's house. I like that. Yeah, we can do that. Just be present and participate. At the same time, realize it's really not your job to give in man lessons.
I remember watching a few single moms ask Ben to be this presence for some of their sons. And, you know, Ben was young. We had young kids, so he was still learning how to figure it out, but he was doing better than there was nothing at home. So, and what's fun now is to see some of those young men come back and say thank you to Ben for being that example, for pieces that, you know, I think about. You know, we had Chris, John Tillery, Bill Johnson, Bill Derryberry. I mean, you had all these different types of men that gave you different pieces that helped you develop how to be a man. And I love when the courage it takes to ask. I think that's another piece I would encourage moms, is be brave enough for your boys to ask a great guy, do you have capacity and are you willing? And take whatever they can give you. Like, they may not be able to be their father, but they can give you an hour once a week. I'll take it. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that when I, just as I'm thinking about this answer, I think what my mom did right was, I played Little League baseball, Dr. Polka.
I don't know what that and is.
He was the doctor in town. His name was Dr. Polka, Mike Polka. He was just an old, gruff, you know, doctor, you know, and
he can only imagine.
He did a good job, though. He did a good job. He did a good job with his son. His son went on to be like Mr. Baseball or something. But he was a good coach. And my mom was at my games. Mm-hmm. I was around him. I was around practice, around those guys. And she also had me in Cub Scouts. Mm. And that was a deal.
I remember you sharing the story on here about the dad that helps take the wood.
Yeah, that was my friend Bert Fackrell's dad, Ron Fackrell.
Oh, I didn't know it was Fackrell.
He helped me with those little projects that you're supposed to make something out of, you know, like, oh, geez, I don't even know what this is. And so he kept me in, you know, he kept me in the game. I got a ribbon. Yeah. And but the Cub Scout experience was being around other boys who are learning about, you know, about the same age as me. And, you know, I understand it got invaded by
whatever.
Know, perverts and predators. But, you know, if you can find some place that you feel safe and you feel you respect the leaders there, mm-hmm. and they're going to create a good culture and, you know, find a way to get involved in that.
Yeah, that's great. I think those are all really good suggestions. And yeah. Okay, so the next question we have is this. Many people now have a fear of having family and kids. Society says that we are better off without them. How do we counteract those lies?
Get married and have a bunch of kids. You know, just do it. Just do it. Get out there and just do it. 'Cause what we need is we need a bunch of families out there is what we need. The demise of our society is people getting more and more selfish and more afraid. Totally. You know, they just get more and more afraid of sacrifice, of devotion, of covenant. You know, the more you avoid something, the more afraid you are of it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're just terrified of spiders and every one of them you freak out and run away from, the next spider is bigger and hairier and more dangerous.
Well, all I can think about is Delaney. We went to the Sundial Bridge, and it's the land of spiders there. If you've ever been there in Reading, it's just full of river spiders. So they're big.
Yeah.
We were walking. We were nowhere near anything that could be close to it. And she's screaming.
Yeah.
Flipping out. I was laughing. I said, no spiders are going to jump on your head right now. Yeah. You need to calm down.
Yeah.
But it's true. I think about, do you want to be a consumer in this world or a contributor? Mm-hmm. And so much of deciding to not have a family, mm-hmm. It's hard to not be a consumer.
Yeah.
And that's that selfishness, that thing that takes over. Because you've decided, I just want to feed myself.
Yeah.
And to contribute and to sow into and to, you know, that having kids, marriage is amazing and super fun. It's on one level, but then it's like you level up when you have kids. It just gets so much more fun. And then watching, you know, there's heartache in it, but there's heartache in everything that you do. Mm-hmm. And there's... having a family is the greatest reward I think that you can have here, mm-hmm. as an expression of what the Father has for us. It's such a beautiful invitation.
The greatest things that have happened in my life happened because I got married and I had children. Who I am today happened because mm-hmm. I got married and had children. That pulled things out of me that no other experience would have pulled out of me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know? And force me to face about myself, force me to grow and develop, and gave me a strength to give away. Mm-hmm. I think of a conversation I had recently with a young man, and he was basically saying, you know, how do I get respect from a man? I said, oh, you know, I think that what I respect most about other men is there a level of responsibility. Mm. And I was talking about Ben. I said, look at Ben. Mm. You know, Ben has, not only has he taken great responsibility for his own heart and his own character, but he's taken responsibility for a wife. And he's taken responsibility for children. And he's taken responsibility to be an influence and to grow as a leader. And he's taking responsibility for people that he may never met, let alone will they ever say thank you. And that garners a lot of respect when you see people take responsibility and they build companies and they employ people and they impact schools, they impact the poor, they just do all these things with the strength of their life because they took on responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a powerful thing. I don't know why you would it's like you're missing out if you choose to partner with
it. You got tricked. You got duped.
You gave into that lie and it's robbed you.
Yeah.
And I would just chase after truth.
Yeah.
Which I think the Bible actually encourages this if I've read it right. But anyways.
Right. Well, it is super important that we, break through that that lie and realize that the biggest, best life that you have available to you is the on the other side of building a family.
Mm-hmm.
And then just staying with it and continuing to build it. And I know people have been through broken families and have had to figure it out. And that's, I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but it will, you do a good job working through all that and you couldn't have created a life for yourself watching YouTube and playing video games and
right.
sitting in a room by yourself for the rest of your life. Because when you get to the end of this whole deal, people at your bedside are not going to be the founders of Google, or any of that. You're not even going to have your phone there.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be your family members. It's going to be the places where you invested your life and your loved ones. That's what you're going to wonder if you did a good job with at the end of your life. There's nobody laying on their bed going, gosh, I wish I would have made some more money.
Yeah, it's definitely not what they're looking for in that moment. Well, I love this, the last few episodes that you've invited in, all the fun conversations you've had, what you've talked about. What we have coming up next is some really fun things. We're actually going to dive a little bit deeper. We're going to talk about women. Wives, mothers, sisters, kind of just the depth in that and the value in that. And then after we're done, we're going to let you boys go back at it again and have some more fun talking about men and fathers and brothers and what does that look like? So
we're working our way up, as guys anyways, we're working our way up to releasing the Dragon Slayers book that's coming out pretty soon and all that goes with that.
Yeah.
We'll announce all that as it
you
comes
will.
Out.
You will. But the next 8 episodes are going to be really focusing on women and then men, and it should be a lot of fun, and you won't want to miss it.
Yeah.
So come join us. But as always, thank you so much for watching The Kylo Show. We are very grateful that you've been listening with us. And you heard before, just we're sewing into our family the mission, what they're doing, and chasing after erasing the word orphan. From the vocabulary. I love their vision. They said just that they want to have to explain that to their great-grandchildren.
Yeah.
What a beautiful, beautiful challenge. So if you haven't and you're interested in partnering with just our expression of chasing after fatherlessness, that's our partner that we love and trust. So you could visit them at themissioninc.org, I think it is. But we'll see you next time on The Kylo Show, and have a great day.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Allie Armerding, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families are going to save the world.